So the title of our talk, or the talk, the Watchtower Study, An Ancient Prophecy That Affects You. So it's based on Genesis 3:15. When we hear that scripture, we think of the first prophecy in the Bible, right? Part of it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. It's interesting that our preview note shows the importance of this prophecy, that it's needed for us to understand so that we can then fully appreciate the Bible message. So we'll be able to study this prophecy in details in our study. And that's going to build our faith in Jehovah and really strengthen our conviction that he will fulfill the rest of that prophecy and others, right? We know it's an abbreviated watchtower today. We only have 30 minutes. So I'd like to encourage you to give brief comments, 30 seconds or less, so that many of us can comment today. We go on right away with the reading of that first prophecy, Genesis 3:15. Can we have a volunteer to read that for us? If we can have Sister Falsetti, Isabella, read that for us.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will crush your head, and you will strike him in the heel.
Thank you very much for that reading. So the first question, what did Jehovah do soon after Adam and Eve sinned? We can start with Mike over here in the front.
Soon after Adam and Eve sinned, Jehovah gave hope to their descendants by means of a remarkable prophecy.
Yes, thank you for your comment. And again, where is that prophecy found? What's that scripture? Sister, just over here, we can ask young Sister Dice.
And I will put Genesis 3:15.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much for your comment. Excellent. Thank you, Marley. So paragraph two now. What is remarkable about this prophecy? Brother Jorge, Josh?
So it's remarkable because not only was it the first prophecy there at the beginning, but it really binds the rest of the Bible together. It's like the backbone. The illustration here, relating it as the spine of a book, is really a good one.
Yeah, very true. Thank you. And we'll ask Sochi also, please.
The prophecy appears in the first book of the Bible, but in one way or another, all the other books of the Bible relate to it.
Yes, thank you. And we read that prophecy, right? What was one of the parts that we all look forward to that it mentions? Brother Joshua Ayeti.
That's to crush Satan on the head, so you have a total destruction.
Yeah, thank you. And so then with this article, the next question is, what will we discuss in the article? Brother Alexander, your last name is Faya?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
The first thing we look at and discuss is the characters that are mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15.
Yeah, that's the first part we'll see. Thank you. Albert.
How is the prophecy fulfilled?
Another important part. And Micaiah.
And how are we benefiting from it?
Yes, exactly. So a lot to look forward to. And that first subheading, who are the characters in the prophecy? So let's analyze. Paragraph 4 asks, who is the serpent and how do we know? Quincy.
Satan.
Very good. You know that. Excellent. He is. And how do we know that? Brother Gosselin.
Well, it makes sense that it would not be a literal snake, could not have understood the prophecy and its meaning. And also, it would not have been alive long enough to see its fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sister Quinn.
And we know because in Revelation, Jehovah revealed to us that it is Satan.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for the picture, EP team. Excellent. Let's go to the next character that we find in that prophecy with paragraph 5. We also have our next picture. Who makes who make up the offspring of the serpent? Brother Karskalin.
Well, it's referring to those who think and act like their symbolic father. So the offspring of the serpent is made of spirit creatures and humans who like Satan resist Jehovah God and opposes people.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Thank you. Sister Sue?
So we can see in Genesis 6, 1 and 2 how the offspring of the serpent were first identified because they opposed Jehovah's authority and abandoned their assignment in the heavens to have relations with the women on earth.
Yeah, thank you. And Sister Poirier d'Espina.
We have an example in John 8 and 44 when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. He said, "You're from your father, the devil, and you wish to do the desires of your father."
Yeah, thank you for highlighting and mentioning those scriptures, brothers and sisters, so that we can really understand why they can be identified as such. So let's go to the third character we have with paragraph 6. Actually, the question is, why could the woman not have been Eve? Or did I pass one? No, we're in 6, right? Good. So why could the woman not have been Eve? So more details on that. Sister Sun.
So the prophecy here states that this woman would crush the serpent's head. And Revelation 12:9 identified the serpent as Satan, which is a spirit creature. So it would be impossible for a human, either Eve or any of her offspring, to crush a spirit creature.
Yes, thank you. And we'll go on Zoom also. That was covered. All right, thank you. So we see who it can't be. Let's read some scriptures to understand who it could be or who it is. Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If we can have Sister David read that. And then verse 5, if we can have Sister Mayday. And verse 10, maybe I'll go on the other side. If we can have Cameron read that one for us, please.
Revelation 12, verse 1 and 2. Then a great sign was seen in the heaven. A woman was arrayed with the sun, and the moon was beneath her feet, and on her head was a crown of 12 stars, and she was pregnant. And she was crying out in her pains and in her agony to give birth.
Verse 5, it reads, and she gave birth to a son, a male, who was to shepherd all the nations with an iron rod, and her child was snatched away to God and to his throne.
I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come to pass the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, because the accuser of our God has been hurled down, who accuses them day and night before our God."
Thank you, Brother Sun, and thank you, sisters, also for those readings. So the question for 7 is, as indicated at Revelation 12, 1, 2, 5, and 10, who is the woman mentioned at Genesis 3:15? And we have her picture that can help us also. Micaiah?
Well, here it says in Revelation 12, 1 and 2 and 5 and 10, it's not an ordinary woman. She has the moon at her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She gives birth to most unusual child, the kingdom of God.
Yes, very good details about that woman. Thank you. And Sister Connell right behind.
So this is another proof that it could never be Eve, because she would never have been given that privilege. It's definitely a heavenly arrangement.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And Sister Blanchette, Martin.
And in Galatians 4:26, we learn her name. It's the Jerusalem above. So it's the heavenly part of Jehovah's organization.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Brother Jorge.
And even with our language, we speak about as a nation or a country as her. you know, so we must defend her, we must protect her. And so it's not a stretch to be able to make that link, right, that understanding that the woman represents the kingdom of God.
Good point. Thank you. So let's go now to paragraph 8. We have another read scripture here to identify the next character in this prophecy. So Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 to 18. We can go on Zoom for this reading. Brother or Sister Tiberge.
And Jehovah's angel called to Abraham a second time from the heavens, saying, "By myself I swear, declares Jehovah, that because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only one, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring like the stars of the heavens and like the grains of sand on the seashore, and your offspring will take possession of the gate of his enemies. And by means of your offspring, all nations of the earth will obtain a blessing for themselves because you have listened to my voice."
Thank you very much for that reading, Sister Tiberge. Question for paragraph 8. Who is the primary offspring of the woman, and when did he become such? Manuel?
Jesus.
Exactly. Thank you for your comment. And if we can also get Phyllis.
And this offspring was to be a natural descendant of Abraham.
Yeah, good point. That's how we can identify him. And what else do we see as details? Sister Orson.
And we know because Galatians 3:16 says that it is one who is the Christ. It refers to him as the primary seed.
Yeah, another good detail about that. Thank you. Berto Hemming?
The paragraph also brings a point that the offspring will have to be more than a human because he was to crush Satan. And we've already learned that we're talking about spirit creatures in terms of Satan. So no human in terms of descendant of Adam will fulfill that role, except somebody who's special, in this case, which is Jesus Christ, that can crush Satan.
Yeah, thank you. And behind you, Clark, if we can have Brother McGuire.
And as to when, it was at his anointing, when he was about 30 years old.
Yeah, good point. Good detail there. Thank you. Let's head to paragraph 9 and 10. And we have two questions here. So question A asks, who else are part of the offspring of the woman? And when do they become such? Urena?
When Jehovah anoints a Christian with Holy Spirit, that person becomes part of the offspring of the woman.
Yes, thank you. Sister Carlson, Anne?
So as we discussed, Jesus is the primary part of that, of the offspring. And in Revelation 14:1, it talks about 144,000. Who have the name of Jesus and the Father on their foreheads. So these are the ones who make up the offspring of the woman.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Thank you. Sister Poirier, Madeline?
And we can see this confirmed in Galatians 3:28-29, when the Apostle Paul said, if you belong to Christ, you are really Abraham's offspring.
Good. Thank you. Let's go to the B question. What will we review next, since we've identified those four characters? The sister, right over here, if you can tell me your name.
Paquette. How Jehovah has progressively been fulfilling this prophecy and how we are benefiting.
Yes, exactly. So let's start with that first subheading there under that paragraph 11. How has the prophecy been fulfilled? So the question is, in what sense was the offspring of the woman bruised in the heel? We read that in Genesis 3:15. So how did that happen? Sister Van.
It was very clear that Satan has tried to block the hinder the development of the woman's seed. And Jesus and the woman, he's the primary purpose of the woman, will actually stop him.
Yeah, thank you. Sister White?
And that part of the seed was bruised in the heel when Christ was put to death, though that heel wound would have been painful and debilitating. We're helped to understand from the scriptures that it did not last very long, and as such, a heel wound.
Yes, thank you. So we see the bruising of the heel. Now the next part of that scripture, paragraph 12 asks, how and when will the serpent's head be crushed? Sister O'Hemming.
So after the offspring crushed the serpent's head, because according to the prophecy, the offspring would crush the serpent's head. And this means that Jesus would have to recover from the wound that he sustained. And so on the third day after his death, he resurrected into immortal spirit creature. And in due time, Jesus would crush Satan out of existence forever.
Yeah, thank you. And Brother Boatin.
And we also see some key events in the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15 as contained in the table. And we look at the timelines. And certainly at the end of the 1,000-year reign, Satan will permanently be crushed.
Yeah, thank you. And we have nice charts, full pictures of the characters and other timelines. So they're very helpful, especially maybe for the review questions. We'll see. What did we see also in that box? What details do we get about the fulfillment of some of those key events? Sister Connell?
Well, to help us understand the timeline for the question in paragraph 12, it's a work in progress right now. So Jesus was raised to heaven, and then in 1914, Satan got kicked out. So it's on its way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for those details. And Brother Jorge Conrad?
So right now we're living in the letter E, when it mentions there the persecution of the offspring of the woman intensifies. So that's what we're living in right now. And then we see the next letter, it's end of the 1,000-year reign. So we see how between these timelines, a lot of time goes by between them, but we're living right now at that last part.
Yeah, thank you. So we've seen so far sections of that prophecy, Genesis 3:15, how it's been fulfilled. Now our next subheading is, how are we benefiting from this prophecy? So 13 asks, how are we benefiting from the fulfillment of this prophecy? If we can ask Sister Cooper on Zoom.
One of the ways we are benefiting is through Jesus, we have come to know and love Jehovah God, because Jesus perfectly reflected his Father's personality. As Jesus said in John 14:9, whoever has seen me has seen the Father also. So seeing God not with one's physical eyes, but with what Paul described in Ephesians 1 as with the eyes of the heart, our spiritual insight.
Thank you very much, Sister Cooper, for your comment. Brother Kuhn?
It's interesting, we're benefiting even from the bruising of his heel. So that seemingly kind of negative part of that prophecy was actually, again, a fulfillment that worked in our favor, because Jesus' death, as 1 John 1:7 brings out, cleanses us from all sin.
Yeah, thank you for your comment. Sister McGuire?
Although we're not spirit anointed, we fit into that Pentecost 33 CE, because that was the beginning of Jesus guiding the Christian congregation. And so we too today benefit from that spiritual guidance.
Thank you. Brother Mackenzie, Jeff?
Yes, and we can also benefit from the social, because Jesus Christ is the head of the congregation. And with all the information that we receive through the Watchtower, through reading Revelations itself, that all this is going to take place. So, and Jehovah God will finally get rid of Satan, the devil, and all of his followers too.
Thank you. Let's head to paragraph 14 with a question. Should mankind have expected an immediate fulfillment of the prophecy in Eden? And explain. Sister Gosselin.
No, because it would take time for the woman to produce her offspring and also for the devil to gather his followers and to develop like a hatred between the two groups.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly it. If we go on Zoom, Sister Beryl, if you have a comment.
Yes, and at Mark 13:13, it reads that, and you will be hated by all people on account of my name, but the one who is endured to the end will be saved. So we have benefited from the warning that Jehovah's people will be persecuted by Satan and his crowd.
Yes, thank you for your comment. So let's head to paragraph 15. Why has the world's hatred intensified? But why do we have no reason to fear Satan? Brother Brathwaite.
This paragraph culminates in Satan was cast out from heaven in 1914. He's now confined to the vicinity of the earth. He's desperate, furious, venting his anger on God's people. But we have no reason to fear him because, as Romans 8:31 said, if God is for us, who will be against us? So we have all confidence because most of the 3:15 have already been fulfilled. So we have confidence that Satan is going to be destroyed very soon.
Yes, thank you. Well covered. Sister Poirier?
I was also thinking, too, we have already seen that Satan's been cast out of heaven. So obviously he lost that battle. It's only a matter of time he loses this one as well.
Let's look at how it's also now benefited personally some of our brothers and sisters with paragraphs 16 through 18. So the question is, how have Curtis, Ursula, and Jessica benefited from their understanding of Genesis 3:15? Sister Nazar?
So we have Curtis, who is dealing with trials and disappointments, and he says that the prophecy at Genesis 3:15 has helped him to maintain his trust in Jehovah.
Yes, thank you. On Zoom, we have Sister Larty. We can get your comment.
And also we have Bavaria, who said that Genesis 3:15 has helped her convince her that God inspired the Bible, and she saw how other prophecies have been fulfilled, and he knows that the rest will be fulfilled. And at the end, he said, I was touched when I learned that Jehovah took immediate action right after Adam and Eve sinned.
Yeah, thank you. That was a nice comment, right? Immediate action. And Sister Jorge?
And then we also have Jessica from Micronesia, and she said how the scripture, the prophecy has helped her in understanding that what we're living today is not the real life, and that it also has strengthened her to know that Jehovah, that serving Jehovah now results in wonderful benefits, that we can have the best life possible now, despite the problems, and we, of course, have a better future ahead.
Thank you. So, three different brothers and sisters, three different ways it helped, and we'll be able to also give our comments and the review questions of how we personally benefited. Our last paragraph, 19, asks, what confidence can we have that the final part of the prophecy will be fulfilled? Brother Lancione, Eliseo.
Well, we have seen the initial part of the prophecy being fulfilled. And so we can have full confidence in Jehovah that the final part will be fulfilled. Satan will be crushed. And we can look forward to the blessings at Genesis 22 and 18, where we can all benefit from Jehovah's wonderful kingdom.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Thank you. Excellent. So let's go to our review questions. Can you explain the prophecy at Genesis 3:15? The first question, and we can refer to the previous image, the one that has the four characters. Who are the serpent and its offspring, and who are the woman and her offspring? Sister, I can't see who it is, but just behind Isabella. Yes, thank you.
Sister Wanda, Satan and his offspring the serpent is Satan and his followers, while the woman is Jesus Christ and his co-rulers.
Yes, thank you. So we have a nice image to help us remember it, and even how to identify each of those characters of that prophecy. The next question for our review is, how has the prophecy been fulfilled thus far? Brother Wayoro, Didier.
One part is the death and the resurrection of Jesus.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, an important one. What else did we